Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shalom, 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 Mishpachah. This is your brother Ahab Al, welcoming you to another Thursday night session of Blog Talk Radio, Kol Elohim, Bible 101. And this show is Study to Show Thyself Approved Unto Yahweh. First off, after giving praise, honor, and glory to my Heavenly Father, I want to say I love that song because life is nothing without trials and tribulation. Life in Yahweh is nothing without a little pain here or there. You know, like the song says, the tests and trials, they only strengthen me. Great is He in me. And that is such an encouraging song, such an uplifting song. And I thank Yahweh that He moved whoever this group is to make this album, because it has truly been a blessing to my life since one of the sisters in our congregation brought it to light. It's such a beautiful album. I mean, for somebody to put an album together like that, and it has all kinds of vibes and rhythms on it that you would hear on the radio, but as opposed to it being a love song towards some woman, as opposed to it being some song about going to a club or sitting in a bar, it's all really good sounding song that just give praise, honor, and glory to our Heavenly Father up above. And I am so grateful for this album, and especially that song, because that song has been carrying me through this entire week, family, through the trials and tribulations that I've had to face. And one of the things that I will honestly say that Yahweh will always do, He will always pull you through. Whenever He puts a difficulty or a challenge in front of you, family, it's for one thing and for one thing only, so that you can cry out to Him. Because He knows sometimes that we get so caught up in our day-to-day life that when things are good, sometimes we forget about Him. Sometimes we forget to put Him in the forefront of our mind. Sometimes we put Him on the back burner. Sometimes we altogether don't even communicate with Him. Now, if you're a parent, one thing that you really, really hope to, and I'm a bad son because I do not do this, is communicate with your parent every day. That's one good thing. I didn't watch the Oscars. That's one good thing one of the actors said. And if your parent is alive, call them. Don't text. Don't email. Don't do that garbage. That's not real communication. I hate texting and I hate email unless it's about a very trivial matter, something that doesn't matter. Hey, where are you? I'm at the store. Okay, cool. You communicate that stuff through email. But I love yous. I mean, through email and text. But I love yous. I miss yous and all that type of stuff. The only way you should do that via text, if there's no other way to communicate with that person. But if you have an opportunity to hear that person's voice and let that person hear your voice, by all means, you know, you should do that. But Yahweh being the parent that he is, being our Heavenly Father, whenever he sees his, whenever he misses his child, whenever he starts to miss his children, you know what he does? He allows a situation to take place in their life so that way they can say, oh, Abba, I need you. Oh, Abba, I can't do this alone. Oh, Abba, where are you? He says he is a jealous God. Think about it. Think about jealousy. Think about that whole spirit of wanting to be in the forefront of someone's mind. Think about times that you've gotten jealous and the situations that you've gotten jealous. You know, it may have been, oh, this person is better than me at something. Oh, this person has a nicer this than me. Oh, this person, you know, may do this better than me. But what gets Yahweh jealous is the fact that you're distancing yourself from him and you're putting things out of place in your life in regards to him. And that hurts Yahweh. You know, I listened to my brother's teaching, such a beautiful, heartfelt teaching this week, my brother Deuel. And, you know, when I first turned on, I was sharing this with one of the other brothers, Brother Ariel, that, you know, when you first turn on, you hear the song playing, you know, and you hear, which was one of my favorite songs when I was in the world, I saw you and him walking in the rain. He let the whole song play through to the very end. But then he broke it down to Yahweh. You would never think, you know, in all the years, that song is like, I'm sure, 30-some-odd years old. And I would never think after listening to that song, or whenever it comes on the radio from time to time, or whenever it comes up, that that song would ever in any way be related to Yahweh's relationship with Israel. But my brother Deuel, the knowledge of Al, found a way to make that song and break it down in such a way that there's, you listen to that song, I listen to that song from now on, I will know that Yahweh is talking to me as being part of Israel if I'm going astray. He's going to use that song from now on to say, oh, pull it back, son. But Yahweh being the good parent that he is, being the loving parent that he is, always wants his children to be present. I have 5 children. And trust me, Yahweh knows I have no other desire. This is the one desire I wish I could have, to have all of my 5 children under one roof with me so that I could share the love that I have for them every day right here in my home. That's what I would love to do. But unfortunately, circumstances of my life do not allow for that, do not permit for that. But hopefully at some point, maybe Yahweh will fulfill this wish of mine, this prayer of mine. But if not, you know, we'll just make it the best way that we can. But that's what Yahweh does, that he, those tests and trials, when they come along, family, and guess what? They're going to come, and they're going to be difficult. And the further you get in life, the more difficult they're going to get. The further you grow in Yahweh, the more difficult they're going to get. The harder it's going to be sometimes to really, to turn around and raise your hands up to Yahweh and ask him to pick you up. And it may take some time for him to get your attention. And the longer you stay away from him, the harder it is, the harder he has to work towards getting your attention. That eventually his desire, his hope, is that he will get your attention and that you will draw yourself closer to him. Share with my brother this week how glad my soul is. And I know it may not sound like it right now, family, because I'm not really feeling well. But the show will be done tonight. that how my soul is glad, family. And I was sitting back the other day and just driving, and, you know, the weirdest thing happened. But it's funny how Yahweh uses things to get your attention. Now, I hadn't checked my email in a while. And then when I checked my email, I got a notification that the new moon is coming. And, you know, it is something that, you know, for the most part, I try to be very cognizant of. You know, once I see it get to certain stages, I'm like, okay, I start counting certain days until, you know, when the new moon should appear. But for some reason, even though I saw the full moon and I saw the last quarter of the moon, it didn't even really occur to me to hold up. Wait a minute. The new year is upon us, fam. Abib is closing in on us. And you know, once Abib closes in on us, then right thereafter is the Pesach and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And when that reality came to my mind, I was like overjoyed in my spirit. That, wow, Yahweh, we coming upon a new year, new opportunity, new hope. You know, like how in the world, when we was in the world, when, you know, between December 25th and December 31st, you know, you was, you know, sharing in merriment and joy and, you know, coming together, giving gifts to everyone and all that type of stuff. And then, you know, the big countdown came at 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 5, 4, happy new year, and everybody's in there drinking and doing whatever. Some people, you know, did go to do what was a watch night service, be at church and all that type of stuff. But they were keeping it the wrong time, keeping it based on falsehood. But now that we are called into the truth and we know that this time is coming, and think about it, he tells us to observe the month of Abib, right? But to be able to observe the month of Abib when it comes in, you have to observe the months prior so that your timing is right with Yahweh. So when he says observe, it doesn't mean just observe it once it comes in. It means observe in preparation for when it comes in, in anticipation for when it comes in, because shortly thereafter, you've got a short period of time to get yourself ready for his Passover. And know what a joyous time Passover is, family. You know, just thinking about it now and the night that I'm going to spend with my brothers, it's exciting to me. It's exciting knowing that we're going to hear some good word, knowing that we're going to spend some time together doing something that our Father first and foremost asked us to do, instructed us to do. And in commemoration of one of the greatest events in the history of the world, we are now a part of that. One of the greatest events in the history of the world. Yahweh taking a people that were enslaved, beat down, in bondage by the world's only superpower at that time. Egypt was a superpower, one of the world's first superpowers. That's what it was. To the point where it could subjugate a nation of men that numbered over 500,000. They were able to subjugate over 500,000 men and their families and submitted them to hard bondage and rigor, as the scriptures state. But what he was able to do was raise up two soldiers for him, Moshe and Aharon. And even though Moshe was reluctant to go, Yahweh said, you know what? Through your weakness, I'm going to show my strength. Through your fear, I'm going to show courage. I'm going to give these people courage. So you don't want to be the spokesperson? That's all right. I'll use your brother Aaron. He'll be the face man, and you can be behind the scenes. So he goes up against the ruler over that principality called Egypt, or in Hebrew, Mitzrayim. And he takes this man and his brother, and he sends them down to a people and says to them, be encouraged, behold, the God of your forefather, Abraham, your forefather, Isaac, your forefather, Jacob, and your forefather, Joseph, whose bones we still have in our possession for when we make our departure. Because we will depart from Egypt. those men that you only heard about and their relationship with their God, who you thought had abandoned you, who you thought had forgotten about you, he's still alive. Not only is he still alive, he's about to show you that he's stronger than he has ever been. As a matter of fact, he's going to show his strength by destroying the one who you thought there was none greater, who beat you down so bad that first he had to take your mind and elevate it. So he did that through 9 plagues, and the Pharaoh scoffed at him and his leaders. They took it all as politics, as a joke. Even when the forces of nature came to beat down Egypt, he refused to submit himself to the power and the might of Yahweh. So Yahweh gave us an instruction. And he said, take to yourself a land. And if you can't afford a land, find someone that could afford a land, because this is going to be a family affair. I'm going to start building a nation right now. You get to that house, first you guard that land, then you get to that house, and then when the 14th hits in that evening, get in that house. You're going to slaughter that land, and you're going to have a feast to me with bitter herbs, with matzah, and that lamb shank. And you stay in that house, you don't come out. At a certain hour, I'm going to send the spirit of death through Egypt, and it's going to strike the firstborn from cattle to human. And I'm going to do something to Egypt. I'm going to do something in this world. It's a one-time event, one time only. But it's going to be known for millennium. Excuse me, for millennia. I'm going to make my name great. And in making my name great, you being associated with me, if you uphold my name, you will be great too. So he sends forth the angel of death. And those who obeyed by putting the blood on the mantle of the lintel of their house, the spirit of death hopped over. It skipped over their houses. But those who were foolish and did not obey, and Pharaoh was one of them, I am going to strike the firstborn with death, and there will be a cry none like the world had ever heard before. And I'm going to raise these sheep herders, these goat herders, these camel riders. I'm going to raise them up as a nation. And I'm going to free them of this bondage. Not only am I going to free them of this bondage, when they walk out of there, they're going to be wealthier than they have ever been. They're going to get the lottery ticket. People are going to give them their gold, their silver, their precious gems. And they're going to walk out of there physically free. And hopefully mentally free. This event was a one-time occurrence. But Yahweh wants us every year to get together and rehearse this event in his presence as though we were there thousands of years ago. Because he wants those who know him to give him that honor, to give him that glory, and respect for what he did for their forefathers and mothers. So as this new moon, we wait for it to appear, and we wait for the month of Abib to usher in during its time, I pray that we all go in with the understanding that this is a serious time. It's a serious event, not to be taken lightly. So much so, Yahweh says, if you don't participate in it, you have no part of me. That soul will be cut off because you don't respect the power that I showed forth. So, family, I may seem serious right now, but my soul is excited because a wonderful time is coming. But hopefully in our lifetime, we will see the fulfillment of this event on its grandest scale, when all humanity will be free from the bondage of its mutual adversary. You know, one of the things I realize about Satan is how slick he is. You know, he got us dummies down here worrying about things like race, skin color, eye color, hair color, skin tone, fat, tall, short, you know. He got us worried about this stuff. But guess what? He don't discriminate. He could care less whether you're white or black. He hates you equally. And he loves the fact that y'all are so dumb and so blinded that y'all will hate people for the stupidest thing, skin color. That tickles him. Because he's like, these dummies just don't understand. I hate you too. You can hate black people if you want. I hate you too. Black people, you can hate white people if you want. Guess what? I hate you too. Asians, you can hate everybody. I hate you too. He don't care. He is non-discriminate in his hatred towards humanity. He can't wait for the fulfillment of his master plan to come to fruition, where mankind will be at the breaking point, where they're ready to just totally annihilate one another. He's sitting back like, yummy, do it. You know, like in The Simpsons, you got Mr. Dithers, you know. That's Satan. That's Mr. Dithers. Could care less. All he worries about is his own self-serving, self-fulfilling plan. That's all he cares about. He don't care about you. As much as Hitler hated the Jews, he hated Hitler just as much. But he was happy to know that Hitler was willing to do what he did. As much as the Klan may hate black people, he hates them equally. But he's happy to know that they're willing to fulfill his work. Because at the end of the day, he's not going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. He's going to be like, you big dummies. Don't you know I hate you too? So now guess what? You die too. So, tonight, family, didn't forget, we're going to finish up the book of Galatians. But I wanted to start off with a little bit of that thought because, you know, what you see in the book of Galatians is how foolish thoughts, foolish divisions, the spirit of Hasatan comes in and it creeps in so... It's so insidious, you know. You don't even realize that it's there. You know, you get caught up in foolishness, and you don't even realize you're caught up in foolishness until it's too late. Until, as he will say, and we'll see it later, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole loaf. That just that little pinch of leaven now is going to spread throughout that lump of dough. Point now where it's going to be this big thing, and you're not going to be able to go in there and find the little piece of leaven where it started. You're not going to find a little piece of yeast where it started. It's too late. It's already spread. But you got to be mindful. You always have to be vigilant as to what is happening within your being. What is happening within your mind? What is happening within your spirit? Are you staying focused? Are you keeping your eyes on what it is that Yahweh has set aside for you? Are you making sure that your thoughts are being guarded? You know, we have a saying amongst our brethren, guard your gates. Because trust me, if you don't guard those gates, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your senses. If you don't guard them against the adversary, he will find a way to creep in. You know, the main thing he wants to do is get inside your thoughts. He wants to plant a seed inside your mind. He wants that seed to germinate. And he wants it to take root. And he wants it to grow into something that by the time you realize that it's a tree, you're looking at the fruit of it. But now it has grown to such a point that it's going to take some effort to chop it down. You ever try to uproot a tree? You ever try to get a tree out your yard? I remember my father tried to do that. That's no easy task. That takes some planning. That takes some effort. And then not to mention is once you cut down the tree, if you want to get that stump out, that's a whole other story. Not to mention the root structure underneath it. You'll never get all of that up. So you got to be careful. Be very mindful of what you allow within your sphere of influence. And be very, very mindful of the things and people that creep in unawares, the ones that come in seemingly innocent, seemingly appealing to your desires to want to do the work for Yahweh, seeming to appeal to your goals and your ambitions for Yahweh, because sometimes, you know, people have self-serving agendas. Their agendas aren't always for divine purposes and aren't always allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit. And you don't want to get caught up with people like that because they can lead you astray too. So you just got to be mindful of some of the things that you allow within your circle. When I say that, I mean the mind, you know, because we see that right here in the book of Galatians. You know, hopefully if you listen to the show and that you would go back and reread the first three chapters, because that's exactly what Paul talks about. So this isn't something new, you know, this isn't something new. And it doesn't necessarily have to be about circumcision. It could be just about anything that somebody is trying to infiltrate. And before they can infiltrate an assembly, they first have to infiltrate a mind. They have to find a host. And once that host is found, and it is a willing and acceptable host, and sometimes with, you know, when you think about a parasite, you know, the person who is infected with a parasite doesn't necessarily have to say, hey, parasite, come and infect me. You know, you could do something simple. You know, if it's, you think of something like ringworm, you know, most of the people who contract ringworm, I've had contracted with ringworm a few times in my life. I don't know where I got it from. But one day, it appeared. I couldn't go back and do forensics and find out where the root of it was, you know. But by the time sometimes you see the evidence of it, it's too late, you know. Now you just got to aggressively work on a cure. But this is what happened to the assembly at Galatia. You know, they had people in there that they thought had their best interests in mind, but at the end of the day, did they really? Did they really? You know? So, as guardians of ourselves, you know, we be aware of our surroundings and those who come amongst us. So, family, Galatians 4:1. I hope everybody read or at least listened to last week's lesson, or at least read up, so that way, you know, I don't necessarily have to rehash. But there's a big issue at hand, which we're going to find towards the end that is taking place, and it's surrounding one aspect of the Torah that people have gotten caught up on, and that is circumcision. And the fact that you have people coming in now who are making the emphasis of a believer's walk on the fact that some believers that are coming in have not been circumcised. Think about it. Now, Paul is going to the Gentiles. Let's be real about this situation. The only people at that time that were going to have been circumcised would be people who are associated in some way with Abraham. Okay, so whether you are Ishmael, because Ishmael was circumcised, whether you wanted to serve, you know, you're a descendant of one of the servants in his house, you were circumcised, or whether you were one of, or, you know, of course, if you have the children of Israel, you should be circumcised. Now, what we will see, and I would touch that tonight, because one of the things that Yahweh had placed on my heart to say for a second is, if you listen to last week's lesson, please don't think for one instance that Brother Ahabal is saying, do not circumcise your son, or that I do not believe in circumcision. I got two sons. My sons are circumcised on the eighth day. They were taken care of. And if you are a believer and you have a son that is on the way, you should circumcise your son on the eighth day to fulfill the Torah. That's what we were instructed to do. Now, that does not mean that if you have come into this faith and you came from a family who did not do that, you are not commanded. You do not have to feel compelled to do it at this time. If you choose to do it, by all means, it is your choice to do it. But at this point in your life, there is nothing that circumcision is going to do for you that Yahushua had not already done. Circumcision or non-circumcision does not equate salvation. Having your private area look a particular way means nothing to Yahweh. One, there are plenty of people out there who have it right now. It's just a medical thing to do in this day and age. It's just a medical thing to do. It ain't got nothing to do with the Abrahamic covenant. You got some people who their father may have been that way, and because of his experience with that situation, he said, nah, I don't want my son to be like that. It has no medical reason whatsoever. I mean, it has no significance to the Abrahamic covenant whatsoever. As a matter of fact, a lot of there's a movement out there now to consider that barbaric and butchery, that you're butchering a child because at that point they have no choice or no say in the matter. You have that movement. Look at it, the anti-circumcision movement. And then when you have idiots out there who, for the life of me, I can't understand why a grown man would do this. You got men who are ritual circumcised who are now passing infectious diseases onto these infants because they're doing things that are inappropriate. Now, that does not negate what Yahweh asked us to do in the Torah. It just means you've got some wolves among the flock that are not doing the things the way Yahweh had asked us to do. To me, that's a sick individual. That would do that to a child. There's no way that Yahweh commands that you do that to a child. And I'm not talking about circumcision. I'm talking about the practice of putting your mouth on that eight days old genitalia for the purpose of fulfilling. It's just foolishness. But this is a practice among the people who are supposedly, quote unquote, observing the Torah. It's sickness. But anyway. So, don't want anybody to take whatever was said, which weren't my words. These are the words of Shaul. And we will also see that this also comes from the Torah as well, because you're going to have people who are going to say out there, oh, man, you know, y'all ain't Torah observant. Y'all teaching against circumcision. No. Anybody teaching against circumcision, but we just put it all in perspective. We don't get too caught up in one particular aspect of it, forgetting the totality of, one, why it was even given in the first place. Two, when and when it is necessary to have that done. So he starts off in Genesis 17:10, and this isn't supposed to really be a teaching about circumcision, but you just want to put some things in perspective, okay? The first time it was given to Abraham. Now, just remember, Yahweh had already had a relationship with Abraham up to this point. He had already been in his life for years up to this point. But now there's something that he wants Abraham to be able to understand about this walk with Yahweh. And he's making an agreement with him. He's coming into a contract with him, a covenant. He said, this is my covenant in Genesis 17:10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant, the agreement betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger which is not of thy seed. So right there, he's setting the time frame at which it should be done. He said, and he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every male child in your generation. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. So he's saying any kid that comes into your house that is born once he's 8 days old, those are the ones that you need to circumcise. That's the word of Yahweh. He that is born, 17:13, he that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with you, bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So that's the first time that it is given to Abraham, and he gives very specific guidelines as to when it's done. So now let's look at another verse, right? Now this is, let's find another verse first. Okay. I need to learn how to spell. Okay. Let's go to Deuteronomy 10:11. I'm not even going to go necessarily to the part that given prior to that, but let's just look at this right here, because you're going to have a lot of people who will listen to the show that are going to doubt and not understand what circumcision actually is and what he means. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. I'm not trying to make this a teaching about circumcision. I just want to state for the record that circumcision points to something greater. Okay? Deuteronomy 36. We're going to hear some crying in the background. That's my son already acting up again. 36. Deuteronomy 36. And Yahweh thy Elohim will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. Let's go to Joshua, the 5th chapter. Okay, we're going to start at the first verse, because this is very telling as to whether or not now how much emphasis Yahweh put on circumcision. Now, when they're in the book of Deuteronomy and when they're in the wilderness now, he had already talked to them at Sinai and gave circumcision as part of the commandments and as part of the covenant. And, you know, by then, all of Israel should have known that all their sons were to be circumcised on the 8th day. But now we got a little situation that the Torah brings up in Joshua the 5th chapter. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that Yahweh had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time, Yahweh said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. Hold up. Now, the question is this. if you know anything about that practice, once it's gone, it's gone. Ain't no redoing it. Once it's gone, it's done. It's gone. It's cut off and it's thrown away. So now if he's telling them to circumcise again, what is that implying? As far as the physical act of circumcision. And we're going to see he's talking about the physical act. Joshua 5:3. First of all, go back to Joshua 5:2. At that time, Yahweh said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskin. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Not all the out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, they had not circumcised. So you're going to tell me for 40 years, wait, let me finish. Joshua 5:6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war which came out of Egypt were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of Yahweh, unto whom Yahweh swore that he would not show them the land which Yahweh sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. The question is, hold up, you mean for 40 years people were walking around in the wilderness, and on the eighth day they weren't circumcising their children? Torah had already been given at that point. With the commandment of circumcision. So now you might say, well, yeah, well, Yahweh had to let that generation die off because they, you know, they were, but the commandment still, they were still required to do it. And it's pretty funny that now that they're about to cross over, that he's telling them to do it again. Why? But anyway, this lesson isn't about that. We're going to go talk about the book of Galatians. You know, and the thing is, you know, this isn't a new thing. You got a lot of cats. It's not a new thing, and it's not an old thing. It's not a thing that's done with yet. You got a lot of cats out there who want to put this emphasis on the flesh. When the emphasis is not on the flesh, it's on the faith, and it's on the spirit. It's on your character. It's on your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's about accepting the work that Yahushua did and knowing that that is the only act that you can do that will bring you salvation. There's nothing that you can do in the Torah save love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And accepting the work that Yahushua did by having himself crucified, those are the only things that are going to save you. The only things. No other act in the Torah is going to save you. Does it mean that you should not do it? No. But you put it all in perspective. Galatians 4:1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, Yah sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. What law? Well, right there, he's talking specifically about that circumcision. When Yahushua came into the world, he was circumcised. Yes, he was. Because he had to fulfill everything that was in the Torah. Again, Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might, remember, he said he came to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. That was Yahushua's mission. That was his sole mission when he came. He said it out of his mouth. Now, granted, John said in his word, for Yah so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that is true too. But when he came and he walked on the earth, he walked amongst the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. But now there's also a situation where a Gentile woman came to him begging for his mercy to help him with something, and he did help them. So that right there shows that even though he came to the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, and those were the lands that he dwelled in, if you are among those people and you came to him, he wasn't going to deny you. Back to Galatians 4:5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, Yah hath sent forth the spirit of his son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of Yah through Moshiach. Galatians 4:8. Howbeit then, when ye knew Yah, ye did service unto them by the nature of no gods. But now after ye have known Yah, or rather or known of Yah, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of Yah, even as Yahushua HaMoshiach, Moshiach Yahushua. 4:15. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. They would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Moshiach be formed in you, I desire to be present with you and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman, talking about Hagar and Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. What flesh? That desire that came from the fact that they could not see how their circumstances would be changed by Yahweh. When Sarah said unto Abraham, go into my handmaiden Hagar, that may be how I'm going to receive a child. But that was not Yahweh's plan for them. It worked according to his divine will, but that was the act of the flesh. Because Yahweh was going to make it divinely so that he would open up Sarah's womb and that she would conceive the child that he had promised them many years ago, and that the child that would be named Isaac, not Ishmael. That was the work of the flesh. That was not the work of the spirit of Yahweh. She said to Abraham, go into my handmaiden. He was like, sure, I'll do it if you're giving me permission. But it wasn't supposed to be so. At least that wasn't Yahweh's instruction to her. I must say that. It wasn't his instruction to her. That was her own instruction. Galatians 4:24. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. It says Agar, but it should be Hagar. Galatians 4:25, for this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. So he's saying what was given on Torah, given down at Sinai, now has been passed down, and the ruling bodies are in Jerusalem, and what they're doing is through the misunderstanding of a lot of the Torah, they're keeping the people enslaved to the point where now they can't even see that, that God came down, Yahweh himself came down to earth and has saved them. That's what, that's what's keeping their minds in bondage, that they cannot fathom, they cannot see Moshiach because they're too caught up in looking at the black and white that's on the Torah scroll. Galatians 4:25. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in the bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, though that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she with hatching husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. When you look at the backstory behind what took place between Ishmael and Isaac, Ishmael was an enemy to this very day. Those who associate themselves with Ishmael and his ways and his walks, who are they the enemy to? Don't look at color. Don't look at color. Look at the spirit and the intent behind it. They're still enemies. The Ishmaelites are still enemies to the Israelites. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed for thousands of years. Now we, brethren, are as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son? For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Going to chapter 5. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Moshiach hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Moshiach shall profit you nothing. That means if you go ahead with this act when you don't have to, that means you are making null and void Moshiach. Because he's not commanding you to come in and do that right now. He's not. Galatians 5:3, I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole Torah. He's not saying those who are past circumcised, but he's saying those now who have come into the way, who have come into the knowledge of Yahushua, and the emphasis has been placed on circumcision, and they totally forgot about the whole purpose and intent of Yahushua coming and worried about those who said, well, you are not part of the Abrahamic covenant. You are not fulfilling the Torah if you don't fulfill this thing in your flesh. This is what he's saying. For I testify, 5:3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Galatians 5:4, Moshiach is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. If you think for one second, is what he's saying, if you think for one second that now that you've gotten circumcised that it puts you in a special place, it does not. You just wasted your time and went through a whole lot of pain because as an adult, it is major surgery. You went through a whole lot of pain for naught. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. In Yahushua HaMashiach, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So that means once that person came in and started talking that foolishness, they didn't see it coming. By the time they realized what had happened, they had been duped. If you ever seen how leaven works, you put a little bit of yeast. I used to make bread. You put a little bit of yeast and a little bit of lump, and you'll be surprised about the thing. You leave it in some heat for a couple of hours. You make the conditions right, and you come back home. You're gonna have your whole big loaf from just a little handful of dough with some yeast in it. That's what it does. 5:9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole loaf. A little sin, a little bit of confusion, a little bit of doubt will bring doubt to the whole loaf. A little bit of confusion will bring doubt to the whole assembly. This is what he's saying. Just a little bit of that sin could cause sin in the entire assembly is what he's saying. 5:10 rather. I have confidence in you through our master that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the stake, the execution stake, ceased. 5:12. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called into liberty, unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed by one another. So what he's saying is, y'all worried about being hooked up in your flesh. But now, when it comes to the real deal, what keeping the Torah is really about, loving your neighbor as yourself, y'all consuming one another. Y'all eating each other up. Y'all ain't showing love, but y'all circumcised? And you think that when you stand before Yahweh, he's going to say, drop your pants, pull it out, lay it on the table, let me examine it. Oh, wow, whoever did this circumcision did a great job. Woo, a perfect circumference. Oh, my goodness, looks great. No, he's not going to do that. What he's going to say is he's going to look you in your eye, and he's going to examine your record, and he's going to say, I wonder if you heard when Paul said, how can you love Yah whom you don't see, but don't love your brother, and don't show love to your brother who you see every day? That's what he's going to judge you on. He's going to judge you on how well your relationship with him affects how you deal with your brother. That's why it says, love Yah with all your whole, with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might, and then love your neighbor as yourself, because if you truly love Yahweh, you will show love to all your brethren in all circumstances. This is what it's about. It ain't about, you know, you got idiots out there who really think that your piece of flesh, which the only two people who should be privy to it is your significant other and yourself, that Yahweh really cares about that. Guess what? Some of you are going to rot before the return of Moshiach. And when I say rot, I mean in the sense of you're not going to be, you may not be here. We all may be dead and buried by the time he comes. That means that that piece is going to rot away too. You think he's, you think that the rest of your body is going to rot and he's going to lay that aside for you until the resurrection? Until judgment day, he's going to say, oh, no, don't rot that piece. No, that piece is going to rot too. But you got people that are so caught up in the aspect. You know, one of the things that, as my brother refers to him, as the wise man shared with me prior to him departing from this life, was the reason why he stopped doing a lot of the outward things. Because he said so many people put so much emphasis on those outward things, how pretty and long and flowing my fringes are, how they glide in the wind as I walk down the hallway, how they go down to my knees. And the quarter blue is so blue and so bright that the people have no choice but to notice it as I walk down the hall. How my head wraps and my face covering. Oh, they're so pretty. I'm so pretty. I'm pretty and righteous. But that's how a lot of us view these outward things. We make sure they look nice and pretty, but on the inside, what is going on for what you do on the outside? And he told me specifically he stopped doing these things because so much emphasis was being put on these outward things. And at the end of the day, as he would always tell us, they don't mean a hill of beans. That was one of his favorite statements. It don't mean a hill of beans. So So make sure before you go out that your fringes are nice and pretty and white with the perfect quarter blue wrapped so intricately around it. And make sure that all your outer garments look really good, because to Yahweh, that's really what matters. And I hope y'all understand that sarcasm right there. Forgive me. 5:14. For all of the law is fulfilled. All the Torah is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and this is the problem they had: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in past times, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of Yah. So you got a pretty life. What do you think matters most to Yahweh? Okay? 5:22. This is what matters most of Yahweh. But the fruit of the Spirit is first love, second joy, third peace, fourth long-suffering, fifth gentleness, sixth goodness, seventh faith, eighth meekness, ninth temperance, and guess what? Against such there is no law. And they that are Moshiachs have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Please don't take pride in your private, because that's not what's important, is what he's saying in a nutshell. Because if you have one man that got his clothes on, and you see him day by day, and he's doing all the work, he's fulfilling all these things. He's got those nine elements that are the fruits of the Spirit, those seven elements that are the fruits of the Spirit, and he's doing all these things, and he's fully clothed. But then you have another person that's also fully clothed, and he's doing the other acts. You think Yahweh really cares whether or not, at the end of the day, that their private part, that the evil one's private part looks the way that he commanded, and the other one's private parts don't look the way? No, he's looking at what that person is doing with their life and how that person emulates Yahweh. On to 6, family. Galatians 6, last chapter, wrapping up the book. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of weakness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Mashiach. For if a man think himself to be something which he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let every man prove his work, his own work, and then shall we have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. Yahweh is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall all of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. 6:11. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. That means this was a serious matter for Paul. He had to deal with it. He had to spend some time putting in some work with the assembly at Galatia. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the sake of Moshiach. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the Torah, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But Yah forbid that I should glory save in the stake of our master, Yahushua HaMashiach, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Moshiach Yahushua, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to his rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of Yah. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of our master Yahushua. Brethren, the grace of our master Yahushua HaMashiach be with you, be with your spirit. Amen. So, family, let's put it all in perspective. Let's deal with what's important. And what's important is having the fruits of the Spirit. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't keep the Torah. Doesn't mean we shouldn't fulfill the Torah. But we shouldn't put an emphasis, so much emphasis on certain things in the Torah that we forget, we fail or forget to realize what's most important. And what is most important isn't what you're doing with your flesh. What is important is what you're doing in order to fulfill the word of Yahweh, fulfill what we're supposed to be doing to represent him. And the truth of the matter is, having that piece of flesh look a particular way doesn't make you a representative of Yahweh. What makes you a representative of Yahweh is how you fulfill this walk and whether or not you start to take upon the spirit that Yahushua had, one of meekness, one of kindness, one of love, one of joy. Because if you don't have these things, then you have to question your walk. You have to question whether or not you are in step, whether you're in line with Yahushua HaMashiach. We're coming upon that time where we're going to be, as he said, as what they call the quote-unquote Last Supper, which was actually his last Passover on earth. He said, this is my body. He said, eat of it. He said, this is my blood. Drink of it. Take on my character. You know, like how the saying goes, you are what you eat. So he wants us every year to come together and eat that in commemoration of him so that way we can become just like him. Not to get fat, not to leave there like an old roly-poly, but to know that when you bite into that bitter herb and it starts to burn your brain up, when you bite into that bitter herb and it consumes your nose, it consumes your eyeballs, it consumes your sinuses, that you understand the bitterness that he went through and the bitterness that we are taking upon because we are now associated with him. When you eat that unleavened bread, which is a representative of his body, that you try to keep sin out your life every way that you can. Not that you're going to be perfect. We're going to be far from perfect. But he is made perfect within us. And if he is within us, then guess what? We are perfect. But only what reflects him is seen as perfection. So family, hopefully, by the next time we have this class, I'm not going to say hopefully. I mean, it's definitely going to happen. We're going to be in a new month, the month of Abib. You know, I'm happy. The birds are chirping in the morning again, seeing the little buds on the trees, you know, seeing the grass start to get a little greener. You know, I get excited every year at Abib. It's very exciting just to see life come back into the earth. You know, it's an awesome thing. And then I always look forward to Passover, always look forward to Pesach, because it's always, it's a somber but a joyous time for the brothers and sisters at Beth Yahweh. It kicks off Yahweh's holy season, and we're always excited about it. We're anxious, anxiously anticipating doing the will of Yahweh, communing with Yahweh, and inviting him back into our life for another season. You know, we go through the winter season when, you know, there's no feast days, there's no holy days, there's no holy convocations. But now we get back into the time where we're going to have seven of those beautiful holy convocations and enjoy love and brotherhood under the banner of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, and His Son, Yahushua. That's a good thing. Good times are coming, family. So on that note, family, I'm going to wish everyone a shalom, shavuot tov. Have a blessed week, family. May Yahweh bless and keep you. And until Yahweh is able to bring us together again, hopefully next week, your brother Ahab, I was going to say, oh, almost forgot. Listen tomorrow night around the same time for our brothers Amak all for your Shabbat Torah reading. And don't forget, Sunday night, Brother Deyuah, Monday night, Brother Yaakir Al, Tuesday night, Brother Ariel, Wednesday during the day, Sister Malka, if you're unable to make it on during the day, because hers is usually during the day, trust me, it is archived immediately, and you can eat on that at your convenience. And, of course, your Brother Harbaugh next Thursday, if it be Yahweh's will. Until then, family, may Yahweh bless you and keep you, and shalom.
Yah commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yah, our Elohim, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before Yah, our Elohim, as He has commanded us. Praise you, Father Yah.